Now, PW Torch brings you the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show. It's time to talk this week's WWE SmackDown Live.
and Becky at the beginning, but yeah, it just wasn't a whole lot to start. But yeah, again, a lot of eyes on the show. You get your stars out. But yeah, they didn't really have matches until the second half. And like you said, with the pacing that they had, you get to the clock and it's 8:52 and you're like, wow, this is going to go one of two ways. It's probably not going to go Cameron's way for the main event.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't think the show looked all that different. I mean, once we got rolling, I mean, I'm all for a fresh coat of paint, but this wasn't a teardown and remodel of how pro wrestling is presented. And I thought with all the talk and all the hype, that there was a possibility they would innovate in some way to say Fox put their stamp on it. They did a lot of little things. I don't think by the time we got in the flow of the show, anybody was thinking about any of them. We had the augmented reality billboards and graphics. We had the Cole and Graves at ringside, a new stage and a stage set that looks nice, but again, not reinventing anything, just kind of the typical, hey, we're every several years, we'll give you a new look. So, I mean, ultimately that's not the most important thing to critique, but I did expect more of a change in that regard from a production value standpoint. And this really, once you kind of got past the shots of LA and the blue carpet ceremony, felt like a hot-shotted edition of a typical SmackDown.
Yeah, it's a similar jump, Wade. You know, one week they all of a sudden we're in HD, and I want to say it's right around the ECW sci-fi era, where all of a sudden they had a wider angle and the cameras were a bit sharper. And I think last week, even them previewing it, kind of took some of the steam off of this week, as far as them having a bit better cameras. But yeah, not a super big jump. I think one thing they're going to have to address, having better cameras does show a bit more light as far as the moves go. So they're going to have to be a bit crisper with having the better cameras.
Yeah. Well, let's set the table and introduce the show. We have a ton of callers waiting for us and an on-site correspondent standing by later, and we'll get to your mailbag questions. First, we'll plug the email address. It's wadekellerpodcast@pwtorch.com. That's wadekellerpodcast@pwtorch.com. If you have questions or comments about this show, email us if you can't call us live here. If you hear us talking about SmackDown and agree or disagree, call us or email. The phone number is 347-215-8558. That's 347-215-8558. This is the premiere episode of the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show, covering Friday night SmackDown. Cam, I just got used to saying SmackDown live, and I have to break the habit. It's just like when I finally got used to saying Bobby Roode instead of Robert, boom, changes to Robert. I just have no, I'm a slow adapter, and then things change right back once I get used to it. But in fact, I observed Cole at the very beginning of the show when he was introducing the show, and he said, "We are here on Fox for Friday night SmackDown." And because he was going to say SmackDown Live, I kind of smiled that old habits are bad to break. He caught himself really quick, but I felt he was heading that direction instinctively. But new logo, a lot of big stars, a lot happening. In the end, you give this show a thumbs up, thumbs in the middle, thumbs down. Where are you, Cam, overall?
I would say a thumbs up. I like that even from the opening, like you got your biggest crossover star ever in The Rock. In with Becky Lynch and Baron Corbin. I thought Becky Lynch, you know, one thing we don't get a whole lot of is we get like Seth Rollins in the ring with the Click, which was a photo op when it should have been Ricochet, but we get that. And we get a lot of older stars with newer stars. But The Rock and Becky Lynch did a very organic alley-oop, which like Rock was throwing lines to Becky. Becky was catching them and they were hitting. That doesn't happen a whole lot. So to open like that, to close with a guy like a Cain Velasquez going up against Brock Lesnar, which is, you know, in a lot of ways, like I talk about open with this crossover, Wade, that's probably the biggest crossover you can do right now as far as a men's matchup in a main event. I got to give it a thumbs up for whatever I liked or didn't like specifically. If you bookend it with things that are going to draw eyes, I think it has to be a thumbs up.
Yeah, I mean, this is what you should have imagined it being if you're familiar with Vince McMahon and the current roster and the type of show he presents under this kind of spotlight. And it has news. I mean, and by the way, when I say that this is, I like described exactly the scenario on my VIP Keller hotline on Monday after Raw, I did, and it was based on zero spoilers. I didn't even bring it up on the post show because it hadn't crossed my mind yet. And as I was doing the hotline, I was like, oh my God, this would explain, because I was trying to figure out where does this Rey Mysterio and Dominic attack lead to? And because it's not leading to Dominic and Rey against Brock or anything like that. So I say that because I have a policy, if I hear something that's going to happen, not to talk about it and not to spoil it. And I don't want people to think I broke my policy on that, because I really wasn't tipped off. It really was me thinking out loud what makes sense that would be something that they might do leading into, you know, on the big Fox SmackDown premiere that would tie in with Rey and this angle. So just clarifying on that. And I think it was a good angle. I don't know, and I'm curious, Dr. Onsite Correspondent, how the crowd reacted to it. I'm curious about that. So before we get to calls, I just want to point out our online poll on Twitter, at PW Torch. I said, grade the premiere of SmackDown on Fox. The most popular grade at the moment is A, giving it an A, 31%. B, 30%. C, 25%. A D or an F, 14%. So 61% thumbs up, 39% thumbs down at this point, 345 votes in. I just put it up about 4 minutes ago. So those numbers will increase. I just refreshed and the percent stayed the same, but there's a bunch more votes. So we'll keep you up to date on if that changes at all. But overall, thumbs up, some enthusiastic. And I mean, if you think about, like you just said, The Rock and the Cain Velasquez surprise, then I think you're going to be like, oh yeah, this is a thumbs up. And if you're bummed out about Kofi Kingston and wanted to see matches that didn't feel kind of like Cliff Notes versions of we can't lose anyone's attention because a bunch of non-fans are watching and we want to win them over, which to me is a negative. I like shows that are paced a little bit more like we know you like pro wrestling and we're going to give you good pro wrestling, but we're not going to kind of desperately rush through everything and distract you from ever thinking of changing the channel. That's the thumbs that pulls it down for me. And so it's not my favorite thing. Anyway, I don't want to keep talking because we have a ton of callers on hold here on Friday night. I don't know if we'll have a ton of extra or new callers on Friday night now that we're not on a work night and a school night. But as we begin our Friday night tradition, it's great that so many of you are getting on the phone lines. Just a reminder, we are here after Raw on Mondays and also on Wednesdays in some rotation with NXT and AEW. And right now, I haven't made a final call on whether I'm going to be doing another AEW show next week. We did two NXTs in a row. I'm leaning towards doing a second AEW post show. And then after that, kind of making a decision based on a lot of factors of whether I go every other week or mix it up based on matches and lineups. So join me Wednesday night at 10 Eastern this Wednesday, most likely for an AEW post show. Every Wednesday, it'll be either AEW or NXT. All right, so here we go. By the way, if you want to be on the line, if you want to be on the show and you call, push 1, and that'll get you in line. We have a long line, so I'm asking for everybody's patience tonight. We're going to get to as many of you as we can. Keep your calls pithy. Get to the point. No speeches, because I do want to be fair to all the callers and also our on-site correspondent who is standing by in LA. So we'll begin with area code 904 and then on deck 219. 904, you are first. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
This is Jesse from Jacksonville.
Hey, Jesse, thanks for calling. What'd you think?
I think overall it was a good show. I was disappointed they didn't bring the Fist back. Firefly.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, the Firefly Funhouse was really good. Let's see. But the end of the show, man, that really bummed me out. Like, first off, Kofi jobbing out like that so fast. Like, come on. He was your champion for a while, and they just totally just discredit him. Like, now what's he going to do? Like, he just lost, like, a chump in 5 seconds. You know, great job. And then, you know, Rey Mysterio comes out with this guy. Who's this guy? He's not a wrestler. I've never heard of him. And, you know, they finally announced who he is and stuff. I'm like, oh, he's an MMA guy. Okay, I guess that's kind of cool. I mean, if it was a wrestler that I've never heard of, there was way more chance that I'd Google that dude. But, you know, I mean, I'm sure Cain Velasquez is very talented and stuff, but I don't, you know, mess with the MMA world. And as a wrestling fan, it's just kind of like, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of how people react to that finish will be how much of UFC have they watched over the years, and especially during the Cain Velasquez and Brock Lesnar era when they were two of the top heavyweights. And I'm sure there's going to be some people shrugging their shoulder. Kane was never Mr. Charisma on the mic or in the ring. He was just a really good fighter when he could stay healthy. And he doesn't walk out and just – I mean, I think the undefeated boxer at ringside was a more intimidating Yeah, he was a more intimidating-looking force than Kane. But Kane's credentials are amazing. You know, he's one of the greats. And I wish he stayed healthier and you know, was able to kind of, I think, reach what was a higher potential than he did. But he's got a lot of accolades, and he had a great career. And the history with him and Brock was good, and Brock showing fear. If you're going to do that angle, do it the way you did it. Have Brock show fear and take a pounding and retreat and give fans hope. I think for some people, it's going to draw them into SmackDown. For other people, they're going to go, I'm a pro wrestling fan, and you just sacrificed a character I've invested a dozen years of my fandom into on this feel-good story, and now you just shoved him out the car door while the car was moving because something bigger and better to non-wrestling fans showed up on your doorstep on the Fox debut. So I can see this working different ways for different types of fans, Cam.
You know, Wade, one of my favorite stories I tell on my podcast is about my uncle jumping out of a moving car, but that's neither here nor there. Cain Velasquez has, you know, the credentials, like you said, but he has a unique build in that he does not have the physique that a Robert Roode or a Dolph Ziggler or even an Ali has. But we know how tough he is, we being you and I. I think this is a great first call because if you're not familiar with him, he doesn't look like the toughest guy in the world, which makes you wonder why they let a Brock Lesnar run through a Kofi Kingston, but he's scared of a Cain Velasquez. You have to know more about what's going on. I also love that we have a caller who's invested in Kofi Kingston. Like, you know, I've told this story on, I think, your show and with Travis and myself and Rich on the East Coast cast. We were emotionally invested in a Kofi Kingston for cultural reasons. We cried at WrestleMania, and a Bianca Belair and a Street Profits cried. So even if you're a casual fan or a fan who's not super invested, that affected you on a scale. Maybe one that didn't affect us on. So a lot of us are kind of like, wow, they threw Kofi Kingston to the wolves in a way they only throw heels to the wolves or a Bob Backlund to the wolves back in the day. So it's a lot to grasp
Bob Backlund
in a moment.
15 years past his prime. It was a novelty act, yeah.
Exactly, which was a legit changing of the guard. But there's no reason for us to think that there's a new generation because Brock's been around for 15, 20 years. So, you know, it's a lot to digest. But, you know, as someone who does watch both, I can speak to the credentials of Cain Velasquez and his affiliation with a guy like Rey Mysterio and, yep, you know, hope for the best in that. But that's a great question. What do you do with a Kofi Kingston who's beaten all of your top challengers now? Like, does he have to move shows now? There's a lot of questions that do come from that. So, yeah, great first call. And I can say Cain Velasquez is that good, but you wouldn't know unless I told you just now.
Yeah. All right, Jesse, any second point or closing words from you?
Just go VIP, everybody. It's awesome.
All right. Appreciate it. PWTorchVIPinfo.com. No better time to be a VIP member than whatever with everything going on in wrestling. You know, this week has been circled on the calendar for a long time. And usually when there's like a big week, it's like WrestleMania weekend. I get through it and it's fun, but oh, it's just nice to unwind, you know, and kind of decompress. And nope, it's just next week. Same thing. It won't be the first time for AEW, the first two-hour show for NXT, and the first time they're on Fox with all this hype. But from a pure quantity of hours standpoint, it'll be the same thing. So this is our new thing. But I am not complaining. Absolutely. This has been a blast this week. I know people are asking, you know, how are you getting through this with so much to cover? And it's fun having so much new and relevant things to cover. So just keep joining me and everyone else for coverage of just a really exciting time in this industry. All right. So up next, as noted, 219, and then after that, 317. 219, please state your name and the city you're calling from.
Hey, Wade, it's Charlie from Chicago. Good to call in and talk to you again.
So, sounds good. Hey, Charlie, I want to say something now because we're going to have so many callers, and it probably won't cross anyone's mind, but I'm going to sincerely ask no one to bring up the Twins-Yankees score because I DVR'd the game. And I really want to, speaking of unwinding later, just sit back and enjoy a baseball game. So please don't bring it up to me because when I saw the calendar and that I'd have to do a live call-in show on the same night as the Twins-Yankees game, I was worried about spoilers. So please, everybody on hold, please be nice. And don't
really quick, Yeah. Not to interrupt both you guys, but my Nationals are up 3-0 top of the third. So let's hope that holds.
Now, Cam, what if someone tapes SmackDown or watch SmackDown and DVR that?
Listen, if you're a Nationals fan,
you should be watching
your DC problems, okay? You're fine right now.
Fair enough. I had duties to host, so I couldn't watch the Twins first. Weren't my job, I honestly probably would have chosen the Twins Yankees tonight, because it may be the last time for 20. Well, I shouldn't say that. The Twins team is good. I take, as a Minnesota sports fan, I take nothing for granted. If you're in Boston or New York, you're like, take it or leave it. Yeah. They'll be there again.
All for sports stars getting paid the most amount of money. If we win without Bryce Harper, I'm not sure what it means, because baseball is a crapshoot. But he will have had his money, and we will have had our win, so everybody wins.
All right, so Charlie, sorry for interrupting you, but I realized I forgot to say that, and I wanted to get that out there. Just in case someone slipped up, I didn't want anyone to feel bad. So go ahead. What do you think of the show?
Oh, no problem. Wait, I'd never do that to you, by the way. I wouldn't spoil it.
Well, someone might do it by accident, you know? I didn't want someone accidentally to go.
I hear you.
Yeah.
No, I hear you. Just a couple hot takes. Address them as all of them or just three. I'm just going to fire these at you. I think Kofi has to move to Raw after that, and I would like the New Day to stay on SmackDown. It sucks that he did get squashed, but I think if they bring him to Raw, if they put him on a winning streak right away, and I think they can still maintain the credibility. If he stays on SmackDown, I think this is kind of a scar. Like, they kind of sacrificed something tonight, because they really did do a nice job building him this year.
Let me say something on that, Charlie, before you switch into topic. It's on a meta level, and a lot of fans keep this in mind when they're watching. It isn't that you can now tell a story to redeem Kofi. It's Kofi was thrown out of a moving car. And that sends a message how Vince feels about Kofi. With all the accolades you just gave him and how people feel about him and how invested they were in him, you can't really get back the fact that it was just established. And it might be the right move. That's a debate for another day. But if it's the right move, it comes with a consequence. And the consequence isn't, well, we can rehab Kofi in the next 2 months by giving him some wins. The consequence of what may or may not be the right move in the big picture, if we separate that judgment for a moment, the consequence is fans now know where Vince McMahon stands on Kofi Kingston. And they know where he stands on the story they tried to invest them in since WrestleMania, which was, never mind him, we got Kane Velasquez and Brock, we're on Fox. This is a big deal now. Unlike before, when he was a champion of the B show, on the A show, of course, we need big stars. Unlike Kofi, you can't undo that. You know, that statement was made tonight. I don't see how they tell a story to undo the vast majority of the message sent to fans, which again may or may not in the macro sense be best for business, but that damage was done. You can't have it both ways.
Yeah.
I piggybacking on
that.
No,
go ahead.
I think even if he Kofi doesn't win a rematch, I think before Kane gets his shot, you have to have a 10-15 minute match with Kofi and Brock, with Kofi holding his own, regardless of the outcome, just to show that he belonged. Maybe he got caught off guard. I agree with the idea of moving him to Raw and not being a part of that. But I do worry about, because I don't think that fans only watch Raw or SmackDown, especially with SmackDown being on network TV now. I think it's a bigger audience. So I think even if Kofi is in that ecosystem or changes over, you have to show that he can hold his own with a Brock Lesnar, and then do what you will from that point.
All right. Yeah, go ahead, Charlie. Good point.
Wade, I completely agree with that point you made about Vince. And I think fans seeing that with that decision is what leads them to AEW, is that they just know, like, new show, new set, I saw a tweet that was like, oh, it feels like a small WrestleMania in the atmosphere around the arena today. It doesn't matter, because the same guy is calling the shots. We know where this is probably going to lead. You know, Reigns was the last featured superstar at the end of the opening graphic. They're probably going to go back to that rematch, and just the same guys are going to stay on top. Like, at least they're still pushing Becky. That moment with The Rock and Becky at the beginning was awesome. I completely agree. And also, AEW Dynamite was exactly that. It was a Dynamite show. So good. The other two things I wanted to say is, Kane Velasquez, I haven't seen any of his, like, recent wrestling appearances. I don't know if he's wrestled a match on the indies or anything, to me as a viewer, he kind of looked like he just got off the couch. I hope that if they do a match, I understand that he was, you know, never like a super jacked guy, but standing next to Brock Lesnar, it did just kind of look like a special appearance by an athlete that was at ringside that just like jumped the barrier for a minute. And now they're excited for that match. I think it would be very cool if maybe they had, I know that they've kind of buried him lately and his character is kind of, you know, whatever, but have Kevin Owens come out at the end and start a big brawl with Kevin Owens and Brock. I know that wouldn't be the hottest feud, but it'd be a chance maybe to build him up. He had a great night, and, you know, I thought he put on a good display. If you had new viewers watching SmackDown, maybe they're like, you know, this guy's got a lot of energy. And then the only other thing that I wanted to add was, that was actually it. Thanks for the call, guys.
Oh, okay. Cool. Thanks, Charlie. Appreciate it. Good points. I just don't think Kevin Owens is at a point the way he's been pushed and the disastrous booking of his character where you can get him into a position where fans would pop for him going after Brock. I just don't think that's where he is right now. Cam?
Yeah. I mean, how much of a truth teller are you? I thought they did give him a decisive win tonight. But still, I think there's one or two more steps between now and then before he can jump to a Brock. I think he has to show up a Nakamura, show up a Randy Orton, like somebody on that level before he can just jump up to tell Brock, read him the Riot Act, for lack of a better way of saying it. I think there's some more time in there. And you know, Wade, I disagree a little bit in what they've done with his character, but I do think he's been involved in a lot of BS, which is what happens with Shane McMahon. But in the meantime, while this Kane thing happens, or maybe a rematch happens, if he is feuding with Nakamura or is feuding with Randy Orton or whoever moves over, whether that's an Elias or somebody like that, if he comes out on top, I think naturally he's probably next in line, specifically with the size difference in a Brock and a Mustafa Ali or, you know, somebody of that ilk. I think that he fits that a bit better.
All right, very good. We'll go to 317 next, and then on deck 541. 317, go ahead, state your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, Wade, this is Evan from Indianapolis. How's it going?
I'm going well. Having fun. Enjoying all right. Enjoying all the things going on this week. How about you? What did you think of SmackDown?
I thought it was good. You know, the show was great. Presentation was awesome. It was definitely electric. Kind of not to rehash what your previous callers had said about the Cain Velasquez ending. I just thought it was kind of underwhelming to me. You know, I didn't like the fact that the pro wrestler couldn't cut it at all, and that they bring in the real fighter, however you want to state that, who's going to scare the guy who just, you know, beat the pro wrestler. I just felt like that was, it really wasn't for me, if that makes sense. It was more for maybe the guy
comment.
Who's tuning in to kind of, and I think you said that earlier a little bit, so sorry to rehash that. What do you think about the timing of the ending there? That's kind of a, you know, a bad habit they've gotten into with mistiming with the Fiend endings. And, you know, you could tell that Heyman was like, we've got to milk a couple more minutes here with it kind of wrapping up before it needed to there.
I'd rather have some padding than to be in trouble with Fox on the first week that you can't time your show properly. I think having ideally it would have been tighter, but I would much rather fault on the side of having 20 awkward seconds to fill than having to rush to not be 10 seconds late. And so if that meant building in, you know, a 20-second buffer with Kane, who's not used to being timed in that way, I'm fine with it. I mean, I give them a little slack there. Although I'll say this, to your point, I think they should have planned for, here's our main goal, but we're going to pad 20 seconds on it. You know, we need 20, 30 seconds padding because we don't want to be late to all the local news feed, all the local newscasts. So if we go long, here's our kind of B plan to fill some time. Like, you know, like here's something you can do, you know, walk back to the ring or, you know, whatever, just so it didn't seem like everyone was sort of lost and stalling and frozen.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. And, you know, kind of to my point earlier, it's like, you know, Kofi's had a couple promos during the show. He was on the blue carpet talking to Aaron Andrews of all the people. And you know, he got destroyed. And it's like, man, if you had 5 minutes of cushion there, it's like, let him get a little offense in. Make it a little bit more of a believable beatdown. They can let him take, you know, 3 F5s, maybe get a little bit of offense in. It would have been a little more satisfying for me, and I probably would have been a little more acceptable of this guy who I personally know nothing about. Like, I don't follow UFC. I know he's done a few indie matches, but it fell really flat for me, the ending did, to be honest. So,
yeah. No, I mean, you don't apologize for repeating yourself. You're emphasizing a point that shows the last caller wasn't alone, you know, so don't apologize for that.
Here's a question for you that you kind of you kind of talked about it. How do you think the AEW diehard fans received this show? Do you think they were kind of smirking like, here we go, more of the same? Or do you think it was maybe, okay, this is something to maybe be a little, you know, competitive about?
What do you think, Cam?
Hey, guess who didn't know there were AEW diehard fans until Thursday afternoon? Cam. That's who didn't know.
That's funny.
Genuinely. So, you know, little known secret, I run the Torch IG page. And so I'm always putting up polls and stuff. And typically, now that there's two shows running against each other, I run the AEW versus NXT viewership poll. And, you know, people were voting that more people were going to watch AEW over NXT. And I was like, how? NXT is an established brand. I know their stars. I know the quality of matches they put out on takeovers. No way AEW is going to get more viewers. And then I wake up to the news. I get the news blast from the company. Like, oh, no, they've killed it. And granted, like, Bruce Mitchell, Wade Keller, Todd Martin have all said this is how it's going to go. So
no, Bruce was low on those numbers.
Yeah.
Bruce was way up together,
so Bruce doesn't know anything. I was lost. I'm sorry. But, you know, with all that said, there are AEW hardcore fans, and I caught that as I was kind of live tweeting the show. So I think that if you're an AEW fan, from what I know from them, they looked at this and said, wow, WWE is doing more of the same. They're trying the same tricks. This is why I'm watching AEW. Like, wait, I was getting DMs as the show was going on. This is why I watch AEW.
Yeah.
That finish at the end of the show with them bringing in somebody who has nothing to do with wrestling and them basically crapping on the champion that's been here since WrestleMania, this is why I'm watching AEW. So what I think is, whether it's right or wrong, people who have decided to take a side in this war or battle or skirmish, whatever you want to call it, they're galvanized to do more to be on the AEW side. That's how I see it.
Yeah, my answer to your question, Evan, is I think this played to two different audiences, but I think WWE gave AEW fans a lot to look at and go, that's why I'm an AEW fan. I mean, I think this was the type of show that did that. I also think AEW is a honeymoon period, and I think that there's some weaknesses to what AEW did on Wednesday, in my opinion, that aren't really going to be talked about because there was enough good and it was fresh and it's super exciting. And it, for a first time out, it was you know, just production value-wise, so well done. A lot of positives. And, you know, the thing is, too, about this was a one-off show. You're not going to have this kind of hype and hoopla every Friday. And I, you know, Todd Martin talked about on The Fix this week, you know, you got to get, I mean, and it's, others have said it, too. I mean, 2 months from now, 6 weeks from now, 12 weeks from now, is it just going to be SmackDown as it's always been? You know, just another show where you can't, what they did tonight isn't sustainable. So to me, I think an AEW fan tuning into this looked at it and said, oh, well, that's cool. That's WWE. That's what they do. It was a lot of hot shotting. It was nonstop action. I was never bored, but I prefer AEW. I mean, I don't think this was a show where people would be like, I hate WWE and this shows why, but I think they would say this WWE product isn't aimed for me. It's aimed at a little bit more of a rounded edge mainstream audience who are into the stars in the WWE style. And AEW is just a little bit more aimed at a more, I don't want to say traditional wrestling fan, but a fan who looks at it differently. And neither is right or wrong, and neither is better than the other. I don't think either should look down on the other. But Vince McMahon's vision and the vision of AEW's team are different, and I think that's healthy, and it's great for everybody. I like having Wednesday and Friday feel as different as they do, even though I have my critiques of both. Evan,
yeah.
any closing words from you?
I think I'm in the same boat as you guys. Like, I was very Wade, I know you kind of predicted that AEW was going to do well. I was not expecting the results that they got and the praise that they got. Even watching the show myself, I was watching both NXT and AEW, and I couldn't believe that it got the praise that it did, because I felt like every compliment it got was always accompanied by, well, we still got to work on this and everything. And that's the one thing SmackDown and Raw do so well. It's so polished. They've been doing it for so long. It's such a great production. But if I had to say best show of the week for me personally, what kept my attention on my couch in my house was NXT, no doubt. And that's probably why I felt the way I did about the ending tonight. So thanks so much. Good luck tonight. Yeah. Good luck with the new normal, my friend. And everybody goes back.
Exactly. Yes, the new normal. Thank you. Brave New World, as Bruce Mitchell wrote in in this week's Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter. Check it out, everybody. PWTorch.com/papercopy if you want to take your eyes off the screen and settle in for 12 pages of wrestling, wrestling writing. Yeah, I mean, if I got cornered and had to pick, you know, a rating, I mean, what ended up happening Wednesday is right in the ballpark of what I thought. I mean, I was in the 1.4 million range for AEW and always thinking around a million or a little under for NXT. That was where I settled in on, but my caveat always was, but I really have no idea. And nobody does. And by the way, I was thinking based on some of our Twitter polls and the trending of Twitter and all that, the night of the show, I started blasting above 2 million thinking this could happen. It turns out the indicators that made me think that were reflective of the 18 to 34 year old male audience, which is who I happened to be hearing the most from at that time, because they outdrew NXT 3-1. And by the way, pwtorch.com, our main website with links to all our podcasts and TV reports and paper reports, including the Sunday night and news reports and editorials, that has a bunch of details. So if you're interested in kind of a breakdown of the demographics and stats and all that, check out pwtorch.com. Demographically, it was a grand slam victory for AEW over NXT. From a pure overall audience standpoint, it was a solid win. Now we got to see what week 2 and 3 hold, which is why WWE sent out the statement they did saying it's a marathon, not a sprint. NXT was the best show this week of all four in terms of wrestling. It was the most confident in what it was and the most just relaxed pace. And I don't say relaxed as in boring, but they just sort of had a confidence drive to put good wrestlers out there to tell stories in a more organic way. But I really liked AEW too. So and thought it was a good show. So it's a good problem to have, having to choose between those two. Okay, 541, and then after that, 347. 541, please state your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, yo, Mark Bichetti, Portland, Oregon, VIP member.
Hey, Mark, good to hear from you. Thanks for being a VIP member, and thanks for calling. What do you think of SmackDown?
If I could just quickly piggyback on that AEW-NXT conversation, I just had one question because, you know, for me, the setting was the biggest difference.
Yeah,
what if we
that was huge.
What if we shifted AEW, that whole show, over to Full Sail and switched Full Sail show over to the, I forget where they were, the big arena that looked Major League?
DC. Yeah.
What do you think the shows, what do you think the reviews on those shows would be?
I think the discrepancy would be bigger. I think that NXT, the quality of the wrestling on NXT was higher enough. And I don't think it was like a blow up. It was more polished wrestlers having better matches. And that's not to say AEW doesn't have the guns on the roster to have a show worth better wrestling than NXT. That will happen. NXT put on a much more pay-per-view level, here's our top guys all facing each other situation. AEW held back. So it wasn't meant to be a gunslinger. Let's just go at it with our best. That was not what happened. AEW was playing, holding some, they weren't putting their top guys all out there. So that said, if you flip it around, with that lineup NXT presented, I mean, I think the gap is greater. NXT and its wrestlers end up, I think, being a much stronger in a poll. I think more people would have said NXT was significantly better than AEW if you switch settings.
Yeah, I think my favorite thing.
Go ahead,
Ken. Not to jump in, you guys. My favorite thing in probably the past 4 or 5 months has been Angelo Dawkins holding up his end of the Street Profits. You know, I've said on audio and, you know, on tweets, Kyle O'Reilly has not had a bad match in NXT. If you look up and down the card, like, he's just, all his matches are good. So if I had to pick two guys who I thought had the best motor of each of those shows, it's probably Pac and probably Kyle O'Reilly, but maybe Adam Cole. I think that Cody Rhodes carries himself like a star and Adam Cole does the same. But when you look at gas, when you look at the ability to go out there and have a long-form, hard-hitting match, I think NXT just wins that. So you put NXT in that building, I think it does blow them out the water. But I also think that the glitz and glamour that are presented, because not everybody wants grime and grit, which is what I think NXT brings. I think that you totally switch roles, NXT blows them out the water. But for what NXT brings, for how they present their personalities, AEW does a great job in that big arena because everybody there cared about everybody on that card. So
and Kenny Omega is arguably better than anybody in NXT. If you look at his body work the last few years, you can make that argument and be pretty solid with it. And he was not put in a situation to have a great match. He was put in a situation to get in a couple spots and be and then brawl to the back with Moxley. Moxley was in a brawl. That he's one of their top most experienced guys. Chris Jericho was involved in angles. The Young Bucks had moments, but it wasn't a long, you know, kind of a long form tag match that was meant to feature them like the Street Profits and O'Reilly and Fish had. AEW wasn't designed to be a great wrestling show. It was, you know, like an in-ring wrestling show. So as far as that goes, I mean, it's intriguing to imagine them switching venues, but it's also not fair to say that AEW tried to have the, a show that would beat AEW in the ring. If they want to have that battle, they can name a date and do it. And I think it'll be close. You know, I think the rosters are really close in that regard.
Hey, Wade,
yeah,
really quick.
Yeah. Real quick.
Jack Swagger.
We got so many people on hold.
Yeah, Jack Swagger, Matt Riddle, shoot fight. Who you got?
Oh, Matt Riddle.
There we go. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Although, I we keep getting diverted here. People in NXT, people in AEW, I should say, are excited about Jack Swagger. That, I mean, he's got people backing him who like him from his WWE days. I know Moxley has said he's a fan of his. And I know friends of his say that he is motivated and that MMA getting away from WWE, which just knocked the confidence out of him. And he played a role in that, but he had lost his confidence and his desire. And training again at MMA and being in kind of that real sports atmosphere he was used to prior, he's and now in this AEW atmosphere with much less of the politics that he just didn't like to be part of. He might have a renaissance here. He might have a second wind that surprises some people. So anyway, but that's.
And again, I know we have calls. If you're not a Jake Hager fan, go back and watch his matches with John Cena. They're all very, very good, hard hitting.
Yep.
They're so good.
Yep. All right, cool. Mark, any final thing from you?
Yeah. So, my main thing was, and I have a bunch of notes, so I'll just leave most of them out. This was a show heavily bookend. You hit it really hard, Wade, in the beginning. This felt like a regular SmackDown show, except for the very beginning and the very end. And if you take The Rock out of the equation in the beginning, we have Becky Lynch and Baron Corbin, which you've already seen when they teamed together with Lacey Evans and Seth, you know, respectively. So there's nothing new there, and there was nothing that was going to happen. And quickly, Brian never officially turned face. Was that handshake him turning face and trying to get the crowd to say yes? Owen Shane felt anti-comedic. This wasn't the end of a story anybody wanted to see. And as far as the sports-like feel everybody's been talking about, first of all, there was a very weak reaction for Brock. I don't know if you caught that when he came out, but it was bad. It didn't have the level of, oh, here comes a star kind of feel. And when Cain Velasquez came out, I found the first or couple callers or whatever interesting on their pushback on Cain in terms of his body and their awareness of him. But if we're going in this more in a more sports like feel, I mean, is that really, I mean, other, I mean, because the rest of the show was the same, is that what they mean by sports like feel? I mean, what exactly does that mean, and where is the show coming from here? And then Cam, you hit the nail on the head. Kofi was thrown to the wolves. I kind of liked it, and it's such a sad end to that story that deserved to have such a better end to a story. And and then one more thing, in terms of Kenny Omega, you guys on the fix, I mean, everybody has, you know, Omega was not framed as a star. So if you put AEW show in Full Sail, it really felt more like TNA than this huge breakout show, except that the setting was so absolutely amazing and the crowd was great. So, I mean, take that stuff away and I don't know. I really enjoyed Riddle and
We gotta
Cole.
Mark, I gotta cut you off. Because we just have so many people on hold, and I want to get to them. I will jump in with this. It's not fair to take away the atmosphere, though. I will say the atmosphere is earned. You know what I mean? Like, those wrestlers earn that atmosphere. So if you say let's take away all the goodwill and all the praise that those fans have and all the positive vibes that they have to the wrestlers that caused them to react to them, that was earned. I don't think it's fair to say, imagine if you took that away. That makes sense?
Yeah, I
guess we lost one. Oh, there's Mark. So Sorry, Mark. I just hung up on you, I think. Or no, I muted you. Go ahead. You can respond to that.
No, it absolutely makes sense. And I still say that in the long run, AEW has a lot more to prove than NXT in terms of being able to produce.
Yep. Oh, you're totally right on that. I will say this. It's okay to like AEW and NXT. Like, they're both doing a good job. Mm-hmm. They both have areas to improve. AEW is still finding its legs. It's new. We don't have to choose yet and then dig in and be tribal about it. You know, sometimes a good show is a good show, even if the brand isn't what you're most loyal to. And I think that both will produce those. All right, let's go to next call, 347, and then on deck 770. 347, thanks for holding. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Wade, hear me?
Yep, go ahead. 347, go ahead.
Oh, my.
What's your name?
I thought I called in late. It's Nick from Staten Island.
Hey, Nick, good to hear from you. What'd you think of SmackDown?
I thought it was, from our production quality, I thought it was a super step above what I've ever seen from WWE. It was, I thought, I'm not sure. Well, it's also Friday and I'm drinking, so, like, I thought it was really good.
My man.
I really hate that they took the belt off of Kofi, but also in that same, I also feel like in AEW on the other side, like, I feel like Scorpio Sky could be a superstar, but they got to change his name. Like, it's a corny name, and he's just like, he's awesome. And
all right, cool.
Also,
next thing. Oh, go ahead. Yeah.
Yep.
Sorry,
no,
Rush.
Go on.
Done.
No,
I thought you were done. Go ahead and make your speech for the point. I'll respond. I'll remember.
No, yep. So I love Scorpio Sky. I love Kofi, but I also feel like his time is kind of up. And even though that kind of hurts me to say, but it's, you know, time's up for him. But AEW, I love. As a white guy, I love Scorpio Sky. Like, that's
right,
who they
got
to push. Like,
Nick, I won't have time to respond to your first point. Thanks for calling. Enjoy the rest of the night. It is Friday night. This might be a pattern. The production values. I do want to say they didn't reinvent things, but the opening song with AC/DC, the graphic package, it was an upgrade. The augmented reality graphics were well done. I mean, I think the graphics setting up the match and coming in and out of breaks, it was all a step up. WWE's really good. They didn't have a long way to travel, or there wasn't a lot of room to travel because they're already really good. So part of it is it just is fresh. It's like looking at a nice room in the mirror. Like when everything is new again, if you do that, the real estate agents say, look at your house in a mirror if you're listing it, because you'll see what other people see when they walk in and you'll be appalled. So in this case, this was a fresh, a fresh look and an improved graphics package that I didn't think got gaudy, but it bordered on it. But I thought it was tasteful. So I do think that was well done. Obviously, Staples Center is a perfect setting because it's a big cavernous arena. You can do those wide shots. LA, this is glamorous looking shots from the sky down at the skyline. I mean, they had a lot working in their favor in that regard, but they took full advantage of it and they get credit for it.
I legit have white in-laws in Staten Island. So Staten Island guys saying, hey, push the black guy. I love it. You know, one of my positives for AEW Wade was Scorpio Sky and his promo from, you know, the memorial or wherever. And then in the arena, I thought he did a great job. I do think that in a company that we've called out, we being me, Rich, and Travis, for lacking black male singles wrestlers, I thought he carried himself great. And yeah, I'd love to see him pushed. On top of that, yeah, like I said, that camera jump from the ECW era, from going from SD to HD, I do think you can see that. My biggest thing is they're going to have to coach their wrestlers into showing less light because those cameras show more light. So
yeah,
that has to happen, but it did look good.
All right, we'll go next on the dozens of people on hold here. We won't get to everybody, but we're going to try to pace ourselves to get to as many as we can. 770, you're up next, and then 857 next. 770, please state your name and where you're calling from.
This is Laramie Wells from Covington, Georgia.
Spell your name. I couldn't quite hear you.
Laramie, L-A-R-A-M-Y.
Awesome. So Laramie from where?
Covington, Georgia.
Awesome. Now I feel like you're official. Go ahead with your comments. What do you think of SmackDown?
Well, I won't reiterate a lot of the same stuff, even though I will say I, too, felt like the ending just didn't do Kofi justice. But what I'll switch complete directions, and I actually want to talk about the Tyson Fury, Braun Strowman little bit. So Braun Strowman, obviously, in the match was a babyface, but the thing with Tyson almost made Braun look like a heel. Like he was just kind of poking fun. Yeah, and cocky. And now, is this leading to something for Hell in the Cell? Is it leading to something for Fox? Like, I didn't quite get what it was leading to. And so that's what I wanted to throw out you two guys.
I thought we'd get more about Hell in a Cell on this show. I mean, they mentioned it, but we've got three matches in the pay-per-view. We'll be concluding in 48 hours. And that's insane that they didn't announce anything else. I mean, it shows where their priorities are, and maybe they're right. And the matches they've announced, I mean, Becky and Sasha and Seth and Fiend and Brian Reigns, Rowan Harper, I mean, especially the first two are, you know, can be anchors for a show. But, yeah, that's weird. Yeah, well, what do you think, Cam?
The thing that I hate is, you know, I'm a big boxing guy. So I remember Christmas of last year watching Fury and Wilder and watching Fury outmaneuver Wilder. So when I see him and Braun, I'm just like, even if I suspend my disbelief as a wrestling fan, Fury will snuff Braun Strowman. It won't even be a contest. So I hate watching it because I'm like, there's no way they can do this credibly. It's not like Mayweather Big Show. But yeah, I like the interaction. I thought Fury handled himself great. I thought Braun, you know, carried himself really good as far as movements, but I don't like it at all, only because I've seen Fury in there with the who I think is actually the baddest man on the planet. So it's hard to suspend disbelief even for me with that.
How big of a deal is an
army of security guys?
I would put 10 guys on Fury, though. I think that's fair. If they had, like, if Darren Young wasn't dizzy that night, I'd bring him back, put a polo on him.
You think a couple of the Atlas guys from AEW would have worked?
There you go. The Atlas guys.
Yeah, a couple of those guys. And then let whatever table Moxley put Omega through, bring that too. I just think it's such a discrepancy since I've seen him do so good, but I do like the crossover. Like, I think
how big of a deal, Cam, how big of a deal is Fury? I don't follow boxing.
Fury is a top four heavyweight in the world. It's him, it's Wilder, it's Joshua, and it's the guy who beat Joshua because he didn't take his Tylenol that one night. Fury's up there. Like, Wilder was the hottest thing in boxing, and Fury took him 12 rounds. So as a heavyweight internationally, in a time where we do have a couple of welterweights who are good, Wade, he's a top 10 boxer in the world right now, pound for pound. Absolutely. Cool.
Yep. So Fox Sports had to like that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah. All right, cool. Laramie, anything else you want to mention before we move on?
No, I'll just let you get on to the other callers on hold. It's just a pleasure to talk to both you and Cam. I appreciate it, guys.
Sounds good. When I said we had dozens on hold, a few people dropped off, so we might be in better shape now. We'll go to 857-NEXT and then 313. 857, go ahead and state your name and where you're calling from. Go ahead, 857. 857, you might be muted on your phone. We don't want to lose it. All right, I'll put you on hold. We'll come back to you. I think I just heard someone drop off. Cam, you still there?
I am.
Oh, good. Okay. I heard a noise that indicated a drop off, and I didn't know what that was. All right, cool. We'll go to 313 and then on deck 323. By the way, we have 2 3 2 3s in a row. So 323-551 is up first. But actually, up first is 313. Go ahead, 313. State your name and where you're calling from.
Yeah, this is Matt from Detroit. What's up, Wade, Cam? What up, though?
Not too much. Just talking SmackDown on a Friday night, which hasn't happened in a while. Yeah. What's up?
Yeah, man. Listen, so it was a good show and everything, but then at the end, then, you know, I was starting to get a little bit hyped because I said, okay, it's 8 minutes left. It's going to be a good little match. And then they do that. He go up for the F5. I was thinking maybe he land on his feet or something. Then he just go down. Like, I'm just so mad about that. Like, you got Daniel Bryan and AJ Styles and all of them can go 7 minutes and do all of that, and they just do that to Kofi at the end. Like, I'm so pissed about that.
You are not alone. Over 800 votes in on a poll that we put up during the show on Twitter, at PW Torch. Everyone vote, if you haven't yet, on our polls, at PW Torch. The Cain Velasquez on SmackDown was a big deal surprise or a shoulder shrug? Where do you feel? 26% said great surprise. 25% say solid surprise. So about a 51% thumbs up. Flat surprise, 19%. And 29%, the number one vote getter, I'm pissed because of how Kofi was treated. So you're not alone.
Yeah, it was terrible. I mean, I know the name Cain Velasquez or whatever, but just some dude came out or whatever that I'd never seen, and that was whack. Like, it was all whack after that. And, I mean, it's, like, I did not see that coming. I did not expect that crap. Like, it's unbelievable. Like, you do all of this, you build him up, he's beating everybody, he's unstoppable, and then that happens. So now what, Seth Rollins can beat him in 2 seconds too? Like, it's crazy.
I think a lot of people are going to feel that way, and WWE might feel their wrath. You know, I mean, you got to be careful. You can say, well, this is more important for all. I think what pro wrestling fans push back against is when they feel that the story and the wrestlers that they're invested in, who they have convinced themselves or been convinced through storyline, deserve to be treated well within the storyline universe of the company, are discarded for non-fans who are trying to be wooed into becoming fans with big stars and big names who maybe don't deliver the entertainment for the people who actually are fans of pro wrestling unapologetically. And this is one of those areas where maybe that happened. And some fans, I think, are going to push back and be upset.
Yeah, just as a black man, like, it's crazy.
Yeah,
That's all I wanted to say.
All right, anything else you want to say, Matt? All right, cool. Thanks.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah,
all right, we'll go to our first. Absolutely, yep. We'll go to our first 3-2-3 with a 5-5-1 exchange, and then after that, 3-2-3-2-1-8 after. 3-2-3, you're up first. State your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, Cameron. My name is Michael. I'm calling from New York, but I'm here on vacation. I'm originally from L.A.
Oh, cool. All right. So what do you think of SmackDown?
For the most part, I enjoyed the show. The only problem I had was with the ending, with Kofi losing, like, in 5 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the one thing I would have changed, I would have preferred DC, Daniel Cormier coming out instead of Cain Velasquez, just because of when Brock Lesnar entered the ring, what was it, like a year ago and pushed DC. That's what I would have preferred. I think that would have been a better storyline than Cain Velasquez coming out.
Yeah, go ahead, Cam.
I think for a few reasons. I think that Daniel Cormier coming out, it eliminates that idea of they're discarding this black champion. We've seen the interaction between the two of them. I do think that because of the John Jones affiliation, that more people are familiar with Daniel Cormier. Like, it's no secret that heavyweight fights in the UFC were galvanized by Brock Lesnar, and people don't pay attention to a whole lot more of them. So, yeah, there are reasons that absolutely fits. I agree. And I think that Daniel Cormier has a bit more personality than the Cain Velasquez, even though I give Cain credit for doing the AAA thing and really showing his chops, like a luchador and moving in that space. But I agree. I think that because I'm more invested in Daniel Cormier and Jon Jones, and knowing his personality, knowing his trial with WWE, I agree. I would have liked to have seen that more. Again, as somebody who's kind of followed MMA, I'm still okay with what they're doing. I think that's an interesting matchup. I don't know where they go from there, and I also think it fits Rey Mysterio a bit more, but I still agree with you. Absolutely.
Anything else for us, Michael?
Was it just me, or did when Aaron Andrews interviewed the New Day, did she call Brock Lesnar the champion and say Kofi was challenging him?
She did. Not just you. She definitely said Kofi was challenging for the title.
Oh boy.
Yeah, that threw me off because I'm like, can't you just see Kofi holding the belt? But yeah, I just thought that was a little funny as well.
Everybody had a belt tonight. It was crazy. Somebody pointed that out on Twitter and in an email. It's like during the first 30 minutes of the show, like if you're kind of like, oh, I haven't watched it, it'll be in a while. They'd be like, does everybody get a belt? Someone put up the Oprah going, and you get a car, and you get a car, and you get a car. It's like everybody was walking around with a belt, you know? So, yeah, it was even not her and Seth. Yeah, it's confusing. Yeah. If you know, maybe Kofi was the Southern States champion challenging Brock for the Universal title, and the belt didn't really tip her off.
Yeah, it almost felt like a Clash champion with everyone showing up with the belt right there.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, cool, Michael. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Just one more thing. Go VIP.
I appreciate it. PWTorchVIPinfo.com. All right, 323-218. You are up. State your name and where you're calling from.
Hi, Rick. This is Harry from Las Vegas.
Hey, Harry. Thanks for calling. I want to reiterate to anybody who is coming on the show, no Twins Yankees references, please, if in case you joined us during the show. I'm going to watch that on DVR after this. Go ahead, Harry.
No worries. I'm watching the Dodger game, and we're still losing 3-0. So you're good.
Yeah.
I'm
sorry. I'm super hyped about that.
No, that's okay.
Fair.
We still got time. Sorry, Wade. So my question is SmackDown for the casual fan and AEW for the wrestling fan? Because today the headliner of the opening segment was The Rock, who hasn't wrestled a full match in 6 years. So they brought in practically a movie star with a wrestling past. And the closing segment gave us two former UFC heavyweight champions with Rey as a bystander, while AEW gave us a great opening match and a good angle to close the show. So I'm picking sides now. I think I'm going to take my viewing to the new show.
We have I put up a new poll while the show is going on. What's the best show this week? Raw, NXT, AEW Dynamite, or SmackDown? AEW Dynamite winning with almost half the total votes, 46%. SmackDown in second place with 32, beating NXT on USA with 18. NXT had a disadvantage because SmackDown had a much bigger audience. AEW did not have a bigger audience with SmackDown, but still winning. And Raw only 3%, such a distant memory.
Yeah, I thought that people wanted the best wrestling on their wrestling show. And I realize how short-sighted and small-minded I am by doing that, because I think that NXT definitely had the best wrestling. But, you know, when you look at it, like Sammy Guevara held up his end of the deal.
Yeah,
Cody
yeah.
carries himself like a main eventer. He absolutely does. And if you miss that feel of a main event match devolving into a brawl and it furthering what you get the next week, AEW provided that. So I get why people voted that way, even if it's not my particular preference. Maybe it is for the quote-unquote wrestling fan. Like I won't try to diminish or take away from that.
Again, there's going to be, I think, two good shows every Wednesday night.
Yeah.
And one's going to be stronger than the other on the wrestling side. I don't think NXT might more consistently be the better show wrestling wise, but there's going to be weeks AEW is. That is a talented roster.
I would just put Fish and O'Reilly in every main event of NXT ever. But I understand why that might keep the dial exactly where it is, but that's what I would do.
Hey, you're preaching to the choir on those guys. Kyle O'Reilly is one of my favorites to watch. I just think he is so underrated or underappreciated or not talked about enough at how good he is. But Kenny Omega, Chris Jericho, Cody, Moxley, Pac, Sean Spears, Nick and Matt Jackson, Pentagon Jr., Rey Fénix, Darby Allin. I mean, there's some good, and they're at Jack Swagger. That's a nice roster over there too.
And wait, I know we have a bunch of callers. I want to say this while I have the largest audience available. I crack jokes about the Bucks all the time. I appreciate their motors more than I ever have after last week's show. Those boys can go.
Yes.
Whether or not I think they're super physical or not, they have great gas. And I saw that Wednesday night. More power to them. Absolutely.
Yep. All right, cool. So go ahead, Harry.
Yeah, so I just feel WWE with SmackDown wants the big audience, the casual fans being now on network TV and really don't care about the wrestling fans. And my question number two for you guys is, do you guys feel that having Hogan and Flair just sitting there ringside brought anything to the show? Because I felt like I didn't see them anymore.
Was Hogan on the pre-show any or at all? And did they do anything more than show him from behind, get walking out? Did I miss something, Cam?
That's all I saw. So
Harry, was there any other Hogan?
10 minutes before.
Oh, okay.
So I think
Harry, was there any more Hogan?
He came out before the 8-man tag team match, I think. Or I remember seeing him. I only saw the 2 hours of the show, and they showed Hogan walking to ringside next to Flair, sitting next to Flair.
Yeah, yeah. And was Steve Austin advertised?
I don't think so.
I didn't see him.
I thought somewhere along the line I thought he was advertised for the show, but maybe somebody said it who was speaking out of school. But anyway. He wasn't, you know, big identifying with SmackDown and its legacy. Well, nor was Flair, I guess. But anyway, they didn't do a lot with him. Hogan was very much downplayed. I'm sure Hogan wanted more than what he got tonight.
Actually, even the security guys tried to stop him. He didn't know what was going on, and you saw a producer go over to security guys like, let him in. So it was kind of a mess.
Weird.
But I just feel bad for having two legends. Like just being ringside sitting there like Maria Menounos. So,
I don't feel bad for Hulk, but
Hogan being segregated, who would have thought, right?
Anyway, cool. Harry, appreciate your thoughts.
Thank you. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. You too. Yeah, people are going to say that now on the show. Have a great weekend. Cool. All these new things. All right, 765 and then 610 on deck. 765, please state your name and where you're calling from. Go ahead, 765. Trying you again.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah, now we can hear you.
Hey, this is Zach from Jamestown, Indiana.
Hey, Zach, thanks for calling. What do you think of SmackDown tonight?
I thought it was a good show. Just had two quick thoughts. First, does WWE realize they have a pay-per-view on Sunday? Because we only have three matches.
Stay tuned, folks. Check your alerts and your app and WWE.com because they got some angles to run and some matches to announce. It has to be a record. I mean, I don't think they've ever been 48 hours away from a pay-per-view and only had three matches announced. So it's kind of stunning. I mean, you know, they did not want to seem like they were an infomercial on Fox. They wanted to pack a lot into that show, and a lot of things got bumped. You know, I mean, yes, Mick Foley and Kurt Angle got to wave. It didn't feel like a 20th anniversary special. I mean, thanks to Snickers, we got a video, with some highlights, but you know, talking about this is it's a celebration of SmackDown. It was a celebration of Rock and his charisma. And then we got, you know, a few people at ringside, but I mean, it wasn't really a celebration of 20 years of SmackDown. I'm not even saying it should have been, but it was kind of built that way. And other than that sponsored, 90 second highlight package, which was cool and brought back a lot of memories of big, you know, stunt bumps and dramatic WWE style. It did not deliver in that regard.
Yeah, Booker T was, you know, probably the longest running SmackDown star who was on that show outside of Brock Lesnar, and Booker T was relegated to the pre-show. And Brock was really only on the show for, 8 minutes?
Yeah. Well, that's true, but he had quite the impact. He didn't win a title.
100%. But he never said, "Wow, SmackDown." I remember times. That didn't happen.
Yeah. I remember walking out on the company after. Yeah. Anyway, go ahead, Zach. Anything else?
Yeah. So I guess the other point was kind of along those lines. I could have sworn I saw Stone Cold and Undertaker advertised, just like you mentioned a minute ago.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we got to see him, you know, yelling at Kurt Angle about, you know, in a backstage skit. So he appeared in that sense. Yeah. All right. Zach, anything else? Any final words?
Nope. That's all I got.
All right, cool. Let's go to 610 and then on deck 815. Good to hear from some new voices on a Friday night. 610, I have just activated you. When you hear a beep, state your name and where you're calling from.
Yeah. Hi, this is Ken from Springfield, Pennsylvania.
You said Ken?
Tim, T-I-M.
Oh, Tim. Yep, sorry. Yep, go ahead. What you think of SmackDown tonight?
Well, so first I wanted to piggyback off of what the last caller was saying about the pay-per-view and the lack of matches that have been announced and promoted. on the plus side to that, if we're going to get fewer matches, I mean, I think we need more than three, but this might lead to a nicer paced pay-per-view than what we typically get when there's, you know, 10, 11 matches on a show.
I'm going to pull out my AEW librarian gimmick here. Hold on. I'm going to pull out AEW librarian gimmick. You say that best and go, shh, don't tell them there's only three matches. There's been a lot of good wrestling this week, and I'm all for give those three matches breathing space, give us an hour, 40-minute pay-per-view, and we're good. You know, it's been quite the week.
Right. And then just in general, I don't really have so much a question, but a few little nitpicks aside, I actually really enjoyed this show. You know, that my only, you know, I would have liked to have seen Kofi maybe get a little offense, but I get the Lesnar win, you know, trying to appeal to the broader audience. Somebody who watches MMA, you know, I popped for Cain Velasquez personally. And then especially right off the top, I absolutely loved that segment with Rock and Becky and Corbin. So that's just kind of my overall thought of the show.
Cam, where are you on Corbin and the push that he's getting, including being the chosen one to be standing opposite of Becky and Rock tonight?
Yeah, I've said since Access New Orleans, when he came out in front of the crowd, you know, maybe 150 people weighed and just kind of kicked it with us and had a Q&A. Like, I thought he had a really good charisma about him. I've always been a Corbin fan. It's weird to say always, because people will go back in the archives, you never liked Corbin. No, he was always really good, carried himself well. I think this King gimmick is great for him. I think being self-aware contributes to you being good at being delusional. I think he's good at that, plays off people well. I thought Becky Lynch played the great Blake Griffin to Rock's Chris Paul as far as catching these alley-oops. All in all, I thought the segment was really good. All three of them really played their role, and he's good at what he's doing right now.
I think he's good at what he's doing now, too. I think it's going to take a while for some people to come around, although some people are never going to like what he's good at, and they're not going to like that's a big part of a WWE show. And I get that, and I understand it. People look for different things. But for what Vince McMahon's looking for in that in a character that fits his brand of sports entertainment, for better or for worse, and I'm trying to put all these caveats on there for all the people pushing back on this, he's doing a good job. He's a good foil, just like Miz was a good foil in some of those contexts too.
Mm-hmm.
And Becky, I mean, having Becky come out first and having her out there with The Rock and having Rock, you know, respect her the way that he did and treat her as a peer is a real boost for Becky. I mean, I think that counts for something going forward.
100%.
Yep. Tim, anything else for us?
Just to kind of reiterate. Now, personally, I'm not a fan of Corbin. I didn't want to, you know, I didn't like seeing him win King of the Ring. But yeah, I do think he was the perfect person to kind of put in that spot to get sort of, I guess for lack of a better term, verbally undressed by Rock and Becky. Otherwise,
all right,
that's
cool.
Pretty much all I've got.
It sounds good. Thanks, Tim.
All right. Thanks.
Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks.
Yep. You bet. Absolutely. All right. We'll go to 815 next. I checked in with our on-site correspondent. He's cool with us running along with calls. So we'll keep riding these for a couple more minutes and then we'll move on. So 815-409 and 857, in case some of you guys are limited on time. I guarantee I'll get to you three if you stay online with us. 815, go ahead, state your name and where you're calling from.
Hi there. Hello.
Hey. Yes, I can hear you. What's your name?
Eric from Waukesha, Wisconsin.
All right, Eric, thanks for calling. What'd you think of SmackDown?
I was not a huge fan. It was fine, but it was good. Somewhere in there. All I got to say is, talking about throwing up lobs, all I could think of is Baron Corbin was Brandon Knight. If you know what that means.
That's a perfect analogy. That's perfect.
just have to throw that out there. I'll say that the first two segments I absolutely loved. After that, I got really bored and absolutely kept walking away from the TV. I just was not a huge fan. And then as I said earlier, if I saw Hulk Hogan or Brock won, TV was off. And that was true.
All right. Hey, living up to your word then.
And I said to Cam earlier in a tweet, it's been 2 years since I watched WWE, or a couple of years. It'll be a couple more years now.
All right. What could they do to win you over? What would they have to do differently?
In a couple of years?
No, yeah. Is it omission or addition? Would they need to get rid of some stuff or just completely change their focus on the different wrestlers or different style to have won you over or win you over again?
A-plus, they are more diverse than AEW, which I did watch on Wednesday, and that was the only thing I watched. And that was the first time I watched wrestling in a couple of years. And I'm hoping they get more diverse.
So are you going to watch AEW again?
I will, and I'm hoping to get more diverse. And my patience is relatively generous, but you only got so much time.
Yeah.
And
all right, cool.
WWE, I'll check in a couple of years.
All right, we'll be here. So call us again.
Fantastic.
Eric.
And we'll talk soon.
I love it. All right, Friday nights are going to be fun. 409, you're up. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
What's up, Wade? What's up, Cam? This is Freddie P. from West Hollywood.
Hey, Freddie. Thanks for calling. What did you think of SmackDown?
So just left the Staples Center. Thought The Rock was amazing. The Fiend actually had a little three-year-old boy crying hysterically next to me, which was hilarious.
Well done.
But I felt bad. but I felt very bad for him. And the Brock Lesnar Kofi Kingston business was hot garbage, in my opinion.
Yeah.
My question to both of you, and I'll make this real quick, is what does Brock Lesnar and WWE have to gain from squashing Kofi in 3 seconds? Thank you. I'm a VIP member. Love all that you do. Appreciate it.
Freddie, thank you. PWTorchVIPinfo.com. What does Lesnar gain? Good question from Freddie, Cam. The winning that way. Can you make the argument Kofi loses less, having it look like such a fluke? He got over-eager. He leaped into his arms. Bang, as opposed to a more competitive match for three.
Well, Kofi doesn't have anything to lose. Brock Lesnar has money to gain. if more people watch him do that, then he has, a financial investment for that to have been successful. I don't think it benefits Kofi. I think Brock Lesnar, with every win that he gets, if it gets enough tweets, if it gets enough news recognition, he wins off that. But that's really the only people who win. Like, if I'm in the stadium, like he's in the stadium, and I see that, I'm immediately turning my back because I'm disappointed in what happened. Brock Lesnar always stands to win off of dominant victories, especially if they translate to views and ratings every time.
All right, I just want to note, somebody from AEW texted me, and they're listening to the show, and they said, and I quote, "Our shooter beat their shooter. Jake Hager did beat Cain Velasquez." And you can look it up. They cross paths, and AEW is chuckling about this. I don't know if they had an idea that Cain was coming in and put Swagger on for that reason, but they got a little bragging right there. Apparently,
listen, you tell Dean Malenko I said it's past his bedtime, okay? we don't have time for his sassiness. No, I always thought, again, I love those Cena Swagger matches because Cena being a main eventer, you realized how big Swagger was back when he was Swagger. So okay. Jake Hager as an intimidating figure, I think, works out great for them. And hopefully people give him a second chance because I always thought he was super talented as an in-ring talent. So, we'll see. We'll see. And again, build matters a lot because WWE has sold how a guy's built for so long. Cain Velasquez, as a physique, is built a lot worse than that roster, but nobody on that roster can beat him up. So
No, they can't. Except maybe Brock. I mean, that let's do it. You know,
yeah.
We can see how that goes. All right. Freddie, thanks. We'll go to 857. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Hi, this is Eric from Boston. I called you guys. I called you, Wade, on Monday, actually, for the first time.
Yeah. Cool.
I don't know if you remember. I floated the theory that maybe Rey Mysterio would interfere in the match, leading to Kofi somehow retaining or some kind of schmoz. I'm just
– yeah.
This has been a wild week of wrestling, obviously, but I just have such a bitter taste in my mouth about the SmackDown, given the way it ended. Just, you know, I mean, I actually believe that Kofi was going to retain somehow. But once I realized how much time there was left, I was like, oh, this is not going to go well. You know, I kind of expected something of a squash, but not that.
We saw that Seth and Nakamura did not go to a finish, I felt like it was less likely they would also do a non-finish for Kofi Brock. That would have been dangerous under any circumstances, but to have two matches where you have, you know, interference or shenanigans that leads to a non-finish would be, I think a lot of people would be complaining about that too. So, I mean, I don't think people loved, yeah.
I just don't, again, kind of like the last caller said, I just don't really – I get what Lesnar gets out of it. I just don't get what WWE gets out of it. I mean, does Lesnar pop a rating that much?
We'll see. You know, I don't – well, it's weird. Pop a rating isn't a thing the first week on a new network.
No.
But I think if those initial numbers are good, I think that does give him some leeway in whatever money he asks for next.
I agree. Yeah. Also, just real quick, I love that it sounds mean, but I love that some little kid was bawling his eyes out about the Fiend. I remember when I was a little kid, I had nightmares like multiple times in a row that Andre the Giant, that I read in the newspaper, that Andre the Giant had beaten Hulk Hogan for the championship, and I just woke up like, oh my God, is that real? So, I mean, that's kind of the beauty of pro wrestling. Yeah. Anyway, I agree with your guys' thoughts on Corbin, too. I think he's doing a great job as he is, and I, you know, just love listening to you guys, so thank you very much.
Appreciate it. Thanks, sir. Really appreciate the kind words. All right. So we're going to wrap up there. We got to cut off calls at some point. We are outside correspondent standing by, and we'll get to emails. So if you're on hold and you want to contribute to the show, you still can send an email into wadekellerpodcast@pwtorch.com. wadekellerpodcast@pwtorch.com. I want to be sure that I plug my 2.5-hour interview from this past Tuesday with AEW president Tony Khan. It is a really good interview. I think Tony presented himself really well and a really comprehensive look at the journey to AEW. It was on the eve of having his first big show on TNT, and he was as relaxed as could be. And also talked about how he defined success going forward. Some great stories and great insights on a new brand that if you're new to it and jumping on the bandwagon, it's a good interview. And if you've been along for the whole ride, I think you'll really enjoy it too. He really went in depth. We only planned to do 45 to 60 minutes and ended up doing 2.5 hours, and it just flowed. So check that out. That's on our other branded podcast. This is a Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show with the red logo. And we do Monday, Wednesday, and Friday night shows that drop the complete show. The downloadable post-produced version with on-site correspondent mailbag drops in the early AM hours, Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, of course, just past midnight on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We encourage you to do that, but you can also listen live to the caller portion of the show within 5 minutes, give or take, of the show's ending. And we always have a link on pwtorch.com in my TV report on Raw, AEW, NXT, and SmackDown, and also on our Twitter feed at PW Torch. So if you want to join us live and stream the show or call in, the direct link to that night's call-in show, the live stream is always available in my TV reports at pwtorch.com. Over on the Blue Brand, the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, we have our Thursday flagship still. Now it's dropping later in the day. We're having a faster turnaround time. We still record on Thursdays, but we're dropping at Thursday nights or even late afternoons. But it's not going up at midnight anymore because it's a fast turnaround time, but it's a little later in the day than it used to be dropped. So, but the Blue Brand also has our interviews, and that AEW president Tony Khan interview dropped this Tuesday afternoon. Definitely worth going out of your way to see. So if you haven't subscribed to the Blue Brand yet, just search Wade Keller in your podcast app and click on the Blue Brand and subscribe. And while you're at it, search PW Torch on your podcast app and check out our PW Torch Daily Cast lineup. whole group of different voices. Each show, each day of the week has a different theme, a specific promotion or show or theme. We have a new all-women show that drops early in the week. And then we have our shows covering NXT and AEW, both dropping on Thursdays now, double dose, one just past midnight and the other on Thursday afternoon. So, and there's a whole array, whole seven shows a week, the Deep Dive with Rich Fan, Wrestling Night in America with Greg Parks with his post pay-per-view shows. And he's on every Sunday taking calls and more. So check it out. Just search PW Torch in your podcast app. Cam and I will be back with the on-site correspondent. And then after that, the mailbag. So tune in for that. Download for that. I don't even know what's going on anymore. We will be by. I'm done with vlogs. Thanks to our callers. And we'll be by with our on-site correspondent and mailbag right after this. Don't just listen to PW.